your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, fellow traders. This is Dr. Paula coming to you from sunny California. On 1610 WBGS, it's a great place to be. Now, if I sound a little tired today, I'm going to explain why. This was something that's probably happened to some of you listening out there. But there's some other information involved in this that maybe you don't know. So, you know, we all know about the Nigerian email scams, and we all know about the romance online scams and all that kind of stuff. and especially identity theft and, you know, intellectual property, piracy, and just about anything you can think of. All of us are aware of that. A lot of us never have anything to do with that. We're never touched by it. But usually we at least know someone that has had something happen to them in those regards. Well, on Friday morning, I got an email to two different emails. I have an AOL account that's just kind of for like ordering stuff. And then I have my business account. And I got an email to both of those addresses from U.S. Bank. Now, at first, I thought it was just a scam saying, oh, welcome aboard, click here to fund your checking account and that sort of thing, which, you know, I've seen those over the years periodically. So, of course, I put it in the spam folder. And then Friday afternoon, I got another email from U.S. Bank, and it said that I had been approved and to call this number and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out that it wasn't a scam, that there actually was an account opened in my name at U.S. Bank. Now, I don't do any business with U.S. Bank. I'm not part of them. So I called them up and got transferred over to their fraud team department. And it turns out that someone online claiming to be me opened up a checking account and a savings account and applied for a mortgage using my email address, my street address, my phone number, but most importantly and egregiously, my social security number. Well, I was in shock. I mean, I was just stunned this morning. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. So I said to the banking department, the fraud department, I said, well, I don't know how this is possible because I know that the banks run credit checks on people these days just to open an account, because obviously they want to make sure that it's a legitimate person and all that kind of stuff. And the bank informed me that all three credit reporting agencies, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, had been hacked several times this year. They've been compromised. Now, I knew about it earlier this year. I knew about one of them. I don't think I recall seeing it about all three of them. And I said, wow, okay, well, that's interesting. So, of course, she blocked the account and opened an investigation, and they're going to try and trace it back to where it came from. Now, right now, it looks like it came from somewhere in Arizona, because they gave an alternate phone number, which still could be masked, but as a 602 number. But she definitely said it was within the U.S. So this really bothered me, obviously. And what she said was, this fraud department employee, they said this is what we call a dump account. And it's a huge criminal organization where they steal checks from the U.S. Postal Service, you know, things that, you know, when you have an open mailbox that isn't secure, and you put that little red flag up telling the mailman that you got outgoing mail, all these criminals have to do is just ride through your neighborhood and take all those, you know, those bill payments. And what they do is there's a way where they actually wash off the name of who the check is supposed to go to. And then they write in their name, and then they deposit it into one of these dump accounts, like they opened in my name. They wait a couple days for the check to clear, then they take all the money out. Now, then the check comes back as bad, and then you are out the money. Now, I've heard of this stuff before, and you're probably saying, well, what's this got to do with trading? Well, it has everything to do with trading. It's no different than the AI fraud that we've been talking about the last couple weeks. It's no different than the crypto.com fraud. Now, and also, too, they don't even need a physical check if they have access to your data at the credit reporting agencies. They know exactly where you bank and what location. So they can go, because they've already created ID in my name, to, you know, because you have to send in a picture of your driver's license and a, you know, and a, you know, utility bill. So they've already created all that. This is a well-oiled machine, a criminal machine. So this is not something that's difficult for these types of people. Anyway, so they don't need a physical check. They can go to a banking location saying, hey, you know, can you give me a couple temporary checks or whatever? Or they can go to the bank and just get the money out of the account. So my point being is that I was in shock. Okay. I almost didn't even do the show tonight because I was so upset. I was crying. I was freaking out. I got scared. You know, then I'm like, what is secure on my computer? All this kind of stuff. And I work with a VPN on my computer all the time, but this was different. So I logged into all three credit reporting agencies, and much to my surprise, None of the freezes were on my account. Now, I don't know if you know what a freeze is, but I'm sure you do, but I'm just going to tell you anyway. This is where you go, you log into the credit reporting agencies, all three of them, and you put a freeze on your account so that if anybody tries to get a credit report, you get an alert saying, hey, so-and-so is trying to access your credit rating. Now, I have had that on for years, okay? The only time I've ever taken it off was for 2 hours when I bought my car last year. That's it, okay? So I didn't think I really needed to check on it, but obviously that's a lesson I learned today. And what happened was when these three agencies were compromised earlier this year, whoever compromised them, of course, was very brilliant and deleted all the freezes on everybody's accounts. So imagine my surprise when I log in and there is no freeze on any of my accounts, and I can see exactly who was hitting up my account last week or the week before, you know, and those are the people that opened this bank account in my name. So for your information, again, there was a company called nationalpublicdata.com, and it was owned by a man who went bankrupt for whatever reasons. I don't remember when I looked it up. And the person that took it over, or entity, who knows, group, took all that data. Now, it was originally a paid service for businesses to, you know, run a background check on people. You know, they might hire or they might work with. Now, this information is just free online to the public. Now, I went online to nationalpublicdata.com, and there I am for the world to see. Mark Douglas was even online with his Social Security number. So now I have to go to the Social Security office and tell them that he's gone, but now I don't even know what accounts might be open in his name. So my point being is, you know how I talk all the time about how I am in touch with my money and I'm connected to all my money? Well, I admit that I didn't think I needed to monitor the credit reporting agencies on a regular basis because I had put the freeze on. Okay, and I was not getting any alerts that anybody was, you know, attempting to get a credit report. So I found that rather interesting. So I will be honest that TransUnion staff today got an earful from me, and I wasn't very nice to them. And they refused to confirm that they put the freeze back on. They refused to send me any email or even a text saying, yes, the freeze is on your data. So I escalated it, and I am closing that account. I'll probably have to do it with the other two agencies too. However, the other two agencies, Equifax and Experian, were very open and honest and put the freeze back on. I saw it right away online. I logged out, logged back in. And so at least on those two credit reporting agencies, the freeze is on. Now, does that mean that their program is safe? I doubt it. I sincerely doubt it. So my point being is that I learned this today, and I had not thought about that. So in that regard, I was not connected to my money. And I apologize to all of you out there. I just didn't occur to me, okay? I mean, I guess I was pretty immature to think that credit reporting agencies would have mega security. And, you know, if the freezes were deleted, they would know that and alert you. I never got anything from any of these agencies. So I'm pretty ticked off about the whole thing, to be honest with you. And I am going to do whatever I need to do to make this very public to everyone, not just traders, but because obviously I'm going to need to check in every week. Now, I will say at TransUnion, the one I have the worst problem with, they tried to convince me that I'm the one that took the freeze off. And I said, first of all, they had specific date, you know, saying that I removed the freeze. First of all, I wasn't even at my computer that day. I was working with the sheriff's department, so there's no way I could have taken it off. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll move forward with this, but we'll be right back. All right, so the reason I bring this up is because it shocked the heck out of me. And, you know, I really think of myself as being in tune with my life and my finances and my trading and things like that. But it just never occurred to me that, the credit reporting agencies would be that lax in having a breach and then not alerting people to the breach and not ensuring that all these credit freezes were back in place. So, you know, it's a lesson learned. And I don't know what's going to come of this. I don't know if I've been compromised or will be compromised. And so what I am doing is, since this website, nationalpublicdata.com, appears to be less than stellar, obviously I've emailed them and said cease and desist and remove my name, but the damage is done. So I have to close all my banking accounts and open new ones because I'm not waiting for them to hack into those, which so far they haven't. I canceled my debit cards, got new debit cards coming for my checking accounts. And, these are the things that you do when you are in alignment with your goals and when you're connected to your money. Now, the people at the credit reporting agencies, specifically TransUnion, said, oh, no, don't worry about it. They don't have your bank account. Well, yeah, they do. because you gave it to them during your breach. So the fact that someone at the credit reporting agency is telling me not to worry about it, it's a little suspect to me. Okay. Now I don't trust anybody. All right. So, and that's the way we have to be these days, folks. And that doesn't mean that we're paranoid. That doesn't mean that we're conspiracy theorists. It just means that this is the reality of our world. Okay. Yes, we can still live in a light-filled philosophy and a spirit-filled, faith-filled perspective, but we also have to understand the realities of this world. And there are a lot of criminals out there, and they have taken root in our financial institutions, and now they're attempting to do so with AI. So, you know, there's, as I said last week, there's article after article after article out in the newspapers every single day about terrible things happening with this AI. And it's going to get completely out of control unless it's regulated, just like the crypto platforms. So don't come back and tell me that, you know, I'm anti-technology. I'm not. I love technology. My goodness, you know, every time I add something to my website, you know, through my team, because I don't do coding, but, you know, when I say, hey, you know, make this look pretty, make this look cool, you know, make this happen, and they do it, I am so impressed. I think it's awesome. Okay. I really do. And nowadays, I'm really sorry that I dropped my computer coding classes in college, because I'd be at the forefront of this too. So all I'm saying is that we have to be careful that it's not just what we look at that is true, but it's in actuality, it's what we see. Okay, so this brings me to the point where I said a few moments ago, it never occurred to me that the credit reporting agencies would not honor the agreements that we had to agree to, that we signed on with them for, in any way. I just assumed, well, of course, you know, they're a credit reporting agency, we're paying them for the service, they're going to abide by the very agreements that we had to agree to. Never occurred to me they wouldn't do that. Well, I learned different. So, you know, there's a lot of times when I bring things up like this to traders, and they will say, my God, you know, you don't trust anybody. Well, I guess you could say that, but it's more of, I need to trust myself because I'm the only one that can take care of me. Just like all of you out there, you have to trust in your ability to analyze, create, and maintain your edge. Pick a trading system and utilize it to the best of your ability. You have to create your trading plans, your trading rules, and you have to trust yourself to follow through on all of that. That's the only thing that's a constant here. That is only the only thing that is a given in today's world is trusting yourself. And if you get a bad feeling about something or you think something is off, then trust that instinct. That is God telling you, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Let's think this through a little further. And I know I've said this, I've told you this before, but in the 1980s, when I lived in Chicago, one of the traders that I knew, he was a part-time trader, floor trader, but his full-time job was, he was a detective on the Chicago Police Department. He's a really good looking guy too. I had the biggest crush on him. Anyway, he was just your typical buff, you know, dark hair, just great smile, perfect teeth. And he was really funny. I really liked him a lot. Anyway, so, you know, we went out on a couple dates and I was asking him about his police work. And he got real serious for a moment. And he said, you know, if more of you women would trust your instinct about being out with a man, dating a man, and if you had a bad feeling, if you would trust that instinct more, then there would be less rapes. There would be less battered wives. And I looked at him and I said, whoa, that's kind of heavy. And he said, no. He said, as police officers, we have to go with our gut all the time. And you know, that wasn't lost on me. Based on my, you know, history, as I've mentioned before, if I had trusted my instinct, I wouldn't have been, you know, the victim of a predator. So, you know, it was a little different in my case because, you know, he was my sister's husband's brother. So, you know, it's like, anyway. But my point being is, it's no different with the markets. Now, if you're in a trade and you have a bad feeling, then you should get out. Now, that bad feeling or that uncomfortableness may be just the learning curve. Doesn't necessarily mean that you didn't do your analysis right. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad trade. But if you're having second thoughts or you're not feeling comfortable with that trade, then that's a red flag. And you need to stop and say, wait a minute, why am I feeling this way immediately? And if you can't figure it out, then get the heck out of the trade. Because if you can't figure out why you're feeling that way, then you're not going to be able to manage the trade. And now you no longer think like a trader, you no longer think like a winner, and you're going to lose money. Okay? So just like me, assuming that the credit reporting agencies were doing their job without checking on them for months, that's on me. Okay, that's 100% on me. And now I'll never trust them again. Now, that doesn't mean I won't use their services forward, but it means I'm going to check in with them once a week because they can't be trusted to send alerts when someone has compromised my data. So it's no different with trading. Only it's you having to set alerts within your psyche saying, okay, if I'm feeling this way, if I get that twinge in my stomach, as I call it, if I'm hesitating, if I feel like I need to get out, then just get out. All right? Because you're going to save yourself from a drawdown. It doesn't matter because there's always opportunity in the market. And that's the main challenge that a lot of you have, is that you don't want to, quote, miss out on a move. And so you get out because you're hesitating or you're fearful or whatever the reason is. And then the trade could have gone exactly where you thought it might. And then you're kicking yourself. It doesn't matter, folks. Because if you truly believe there was always opportunity in the markets, it wouldn't matter if you got out. And this is how you get caught in a closed loop of thinking. If you truly believe there's always opportunity, and let's just say you have a bad day or two where you're not 100% and you get out too soon or you get in too late or whatever it is, you know, or you move your stop, who cares? Because there's always an opportunity. But you have to believe that. So that when you don't have a day where you're 100% and you get out, you just say, okay, well, I got out. I'm not going to have a drawdown. I'm not going to lose money. And I'll just wait for the next setup. That's it. That's the mindset of a winning warrior trader. Okay? So think about that. And we will be back very shortly to continue.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, so the reason that I'm sharing, you know, my personal journey here today is, you know, I'm learning every single day of my life. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter what your experience is. To be a truly winning trader, you have to have a mindset that is open to learning new things. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you need a new trading system every year. Doesn't mean anything like that. What it means is that we don't know everything when it comes to trading. There's no way we possibly could, because There's millions and millions and millions of traders across the planet that are involved with the same markets you're trading or the same markets I'm trading, and they have a different opinion about market direction. And that's what keeps the markets in motion. That's why we're all able to trade, because if everybody had the same opinion, the markets would be static. It would be a flat line. So, we have to kind of be grateful for all the people that jump on board, and whether they're good traders or not, it doesn't make any difference. The point is, we wouldn't have the opportunity to take profit out of the markets if everybody thought the same way. So with that said, that's why it's especially important today. This is the year 2025, all right? We've got a new administration on board. We've got, the tariffs. We've got, all these good things that are happening in terms of the job reports and the interest rates, and the markets are really zooming. I mean, where's gold at now? Is it 4,000 yet or over 4,000? I mean, all I know is I did sell a bunch of old jewelry and I made a killing, all right? So, and I'm not saying you should do that. This is just stuff I never wore. It was just stuff that, were gifts from family members. But the point being is that that's an opportunity, right? I would never have sold the sentimental jewelry 5 years ago. Wouldn't even have occurred to me, even though it just sat in my safe and I never wore it because it wasn't my style. So, but the point is, I sold it and gold was like 3,600 something. And I'm like, okay, I'll take the cash. That's a trade. Okay, that is a trade. When the number of gold hit my target, that's it. Okay, I'm done. Let's go. Let's cash it in. All right. So that's an opportunity. Now, some of you out there might be aghast to think, oh my God, she sold family heirloom jewelry. Well, you know what? It was an heirloom to my aunt who died. When did she die? 30 years ago. All right. So now you're talking about that's 30-year-old jewelry that was not attractive. All right. It was not my style in any way, shape, or form. But there was a heck of a lot of gold. So that's an opportunity. My uncle gave it to me. He's gone. He said, I don't care what you do with it long after I'm gone. I had it for 30 years and now gold hit my number. Because I always told Mark, I said, well, if gold goes over 3,000, then I'll sell it. And well, it went way over 3,000. So my point being is that it gets back to the quote that I said earlier by Henry David Thoreau, where he wrote, the question is not what you look at, but what you see. So I could look at that jewelry in my safe every week and say, it's too bad I don't like it. It's not my style. Sometimes I would wear it, but more times than not, I just didn't, because it just wasn't me. So what I did see was the value of the gold. Now, of course, my aunt and uncle are long gone. If they were still alive, it might be a different story. You all know how that is. But, they've been gone for over 20 years. So it's all right. I made a decision and I'm very happy with it because, that's a nice piece of change that I got. So my point being is that opportunities can be seen anywhere. Now, like I said, I looked at that jewelry for 30 years, never saw an opportunity. until gold went over 3,500. And then I thought, I think I should weigh this and see. Now, I kept some of the stones out of it. I kept some pieces, and some pieces I had made into new pieces. But for overall, most of it, got sold. That was an opportunity. An opportunity that I never saw before. So it's the same with the markets. You have to be open to say, okay, well, I'm holding on to this, or I'm thinking about putting this trade on. Maybe you don't know why. Maybe you're not sure about it. But if you have a feeling that you need to do something with regard to your trading, then trust your instinct, even if that means getting out of the trade. Not moving your stop, not moving your, not following your rules, but at least getting out of a trade. Because otherwise, if you don't follow that instinct, you're going to lose. And folks, you know who I'm talking to. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. I mean, I told you about the PetSmart trade that I was in. So, let's think about this, all right? And I'm gonna share with you this article. I can't even believe that he even put this in the paper, but this is from Jim Cramer, and this was in the New York Post or LA Times last week. So now he's claiming that he needed round-the-clock bodyguards after, and I'm quoting, after bashing GameStop during the 2021 stock frenzy. I don't know if this is true. He says it, but, anyway. So he was doing an interview on Bloomberg's Odd Lots recently, and he stated he was recovering from back surgery when the GameStop shares went, as he says, parabolic. And Cramer said he thought he was hallucinating when he saw that stock jump four times higher in days. Now, he claims he pulled out his catheter in the hospital and phoned his colleagues and said, "This is ridiculous. Oh my God, everybody has to sell." And after he said that, he said he needed 24/7 bodyguards. I don't know about that. But the point is, I mean, hey, if Cramer said it, must be true, right? And I laugh because we know what percentage of the things he says are true. But my point being is that it goes back to this quote. The question is not what you look at. He looked at GameStop and trashed it, okay? So he did not see an opportunity there. You see what I'm getting at? Now, this is the same Cramer that claims that you don't need meditation, you don't need visualization, and you sure as heck don't need trading psychology to be a good trader. Because he can't see that, because he's only looking at it at the surface level, because he's all about technical analysis. I mean, that's his forte, and that's great. That works for him. So this is what I'm getting at, folks, is that you can't just look at a chart and think that's it. You have to know what you're seeing inside, intrinsically. You have to know who you are as a trader. You have to trust yourself that your analysis of that chart and the market data that you're seeing right in front of you is actually what's happening, not what you wish would be happening. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, let me know. Send me an email. Send me, go to my website, paulatweb.com, and fill in the contact form. So this is what we have to embrace now. And this is what my new book is going to be about, The Sacred Path of the Warrior Trader, which hopefully will be out by the end of October. And got a little delayed because of moving the office. Because you really have to start thinking about who you are as a trader. Do you truly believe in yourself to make the kind of money you know you feel inside that you can? And you got to think about this, folks. This is the reality of trading. If you don't trust yourself, then you can't make the kind of money you want. You can't take the level of profit that you want. Now, I learned a big lesson today about, you know, the credit reporting agencies. And I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I'm going to tell you right now, I trust myself to be on top of this and to do whatever I need to do to clear it up. Not even a question, not even a doubt. It's not what I'm looking at. It's what I see within myself. Just like you. You know what's within you. So take a look at it and truly see the kind of trader you can be. And we'll be back after a break. One of the things I wanted to mention this week is that, you know, we've all been discussing the unfortunate murder of Charlie Kirk and how we can all navigate through that. Whether you're Christian or not, the bottom line is it was an awful thing to happen to, you know, a pretty good guy. And especially in front of his wife and his two children. And, you know, it really left me pondering a bit about myself. And what he made me realize was that I am not that brave. I don't have the kind of courage that he had, you know, getting up in front of total strangers outside, you know, in these open forums to discuss the kind of things that he was discussing. And I'm not, excuse me, I'm not saying that he was perfect by any stretch of the imagination. So please don't come back and have anything negative to say about him. I don't know him that well. I just know that he was doing his best to help young people learn how to think because they have been untaught how to think. And we all have been untaught how to think to some degree from childhood. You know, I don't know how many times any of you out there might have been sitting there looking out the window during a class and you got yelled at by your teacher saying, stop daydreaming. You know, pay attention, wrapping her fingers on her desk. And so that we're taught not to be creative. We're taught not to be imaginative. And I think that was one of his visions, was to give these young people, and I say young people because they're college age, they're obviously younger than I am, give them the permission to be creative and to be imaginative as to what they could do in their lives, no matter what it might be. He certainly didn't preach to them, do what I do. He just said, think about what it is you want to do. Don't just take what someone else tells you as the gospel. And I think that's pretty cool, because I would never have the courage to say that to people, although I'm saying it here today. And so maybe that's his legacy to all of us. Maybe that's why God called him home was for us to, in our own ways, step up to the plate in our own lives and have a little more courage to live in the light in our own ways. Now, I'm not certainly going to go on and proselytize or preach sermons or anything like that, although I do on occasion when I'm asked at different churches or temples. But I realized I have to update who I am. And like I said a few moments ago in one of the other segments, you know, nothing stays the same, all right? And what we know about ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, can become obsolete. But since we're so used to thinking we know who we are, especially as traders, then we don't notice that. We don't notice that what we were thinking and our approach has become obsolete or outdated. Meaning, time has no effect on the quality of our thoughts, the level of energy of our thoughts. Time has no effect on the ways in which our thoughts and our beliefs affect our perception of market data right in front of us as we're trading. Time has no effect on how our thoughts and beliefs act as a force on our trading behavior. So, it's a misconception on top of saying that, is that we automatically think that, oh, well, you know, I've been trading for 10 years and I don't think the way I did last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But that's not true. Because changing our mental environment, our internal environment, to correspond with the constant external changes, meaning the different markets that we're in now, the different types of traders that are affecting the markets, anything that's going on in that physical trading environment, it's not going to change. It doesn't change automatically because we're not changing automatically. We have to make the decision to be open and objective and to find out who we are. And the reason that I brought up Charlie Kirk is when we have to make that decision to be open to learning and constantly expanding our mindset as traders, and that takes courage. That takes bravery. And I'll bring this up again. I suggest, if you guys haven't already, go back and watch the movie Braveheart again. All right? Because William Wallace did not want to go to war. But his instinct, his heart, his intellect told him he had to do something to facilitate change for the better. And it's no different with traders. And that's why I use this movie as an analogy, among other movies. But so he, you know, we don't know really who he was, but in the movie, okay, it's a Hollywoodized version, but I like it because it has a good message. He wasn't brave. He didn't want to enter into this. All he wanted to do was get married and have kids and live a life. But something within him told him he needed to do more. And he did. So none of us have to be a William Wallace. We don't have to go out and save our country, save our world. All we have to do is start with ourselves and become the best traders we can be. Okay? So next week, we're going to have a guest on our show, the famous Larry Pesavento, who's going to be in town and staying with me for a couple days. So I've invited him to share a few insights with you folks, and hopefully he'll be up for that task. And so tune in next week, and we'll rock and roll. In the meantime, feel free to reach out at 760-636-4290. The cell number is 442-256-0548 for critical trading events if you're in a bad trade, and politiweb.com. And in the meantime, I wish you a blessed week of great abundance as a trader and good tidings to all of you. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.